Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Shane Kennedy, a youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
Senior Sunday is always a little bit of an emotional day for me, as I've got to see seniors grow at this point, and as I also think about it, at the end of the summer, they'll no longer be a part of our youth ministry. It does not help that today's a little emotional. It doesn't help with those emotions that I also had a kindergarten graduate up here. We didn't consider that until like a few weeks ago. Me and my wife were talking about it, like, Kenna's going to get her kindergarten Bible this year. And that was a little bit of a shock. I don't know if I'm ready for her to be growing up and going into first grade. And so that adds a little bit to the emotions this morning. I know some of you may be thinking, Shane, I remember when you were in kindergarten. And now I have a daughter in kindergarten, so boy, now she's old. But it's bittersweet to see your children grow up. You're proud of the person that they're becoming and the way they're growing, but also there's a little bit of sadness that they don't get to be your little child forever. And if I'm feeling emotional just about my daughter moving to first grade, I know these senior parents and families feel those emotions this morning even more magnified. So seniors, if you look down with you this morning, and your parents, your grandparents are a little misty-eyed, know that those emotions they're feeling is all about their love for you. That your parents love you more than you can fully realize right now. So make sure to give them a big hug today. Tell them how much you appreciate them, love them, and all that they've done for you. So we want to encourage our seniors this morning, but we also want to show love and support to our parents and families as well. As we know, sometimes this transition can be a little challenging for moms and dads and siblings and grandmas. So we want to show love to you guys this morning as well. Seniors, you are special to us. You're special to your parents and to your families. You're special to our youth group and to me. And you're special to our church. I'm going to miss you not being a part of our youth group after the summer. It's been awesome to get to watch you guys grow up over these past 6 years that you've been in the youth ministry. But for several of you, we've been blessed to get to watch you grow for much longer than that. That some of you have been here a really long time, your whole lives. So it's special to get to watch you grow to the point you're at today. And we're excited for your future. And this is a special group of young men and women. They are incredibly talented. You'll see here in a little bit when I honor them as I read some of their accomplishments. You'll see some of their talents and gifts and abilities. God has gifted them in some awesome ways. Some of them are really good at sports. And several of them this year in this graduating class are really good at music, are really good at art. It's actually maybe one of the most artistic and creative groups that have gone through our youth group. Some of them are really skilled at drawing. Some of them very skilled at music. You should ask to see some of their art. Some of it's very impressive. Each one in this group is very unique. They all have very fun and unique personalities. And they've been a blessing to our youth group. And I'm not only thankful and admire your talents in sports and music and art, but I am very thankful for the talents and abilities and gifts that God has given you in being able to be a really good friend. Your talent and ability to bring joy to the people around you, to make others feel welcomed and included, to giving comfort to those who need it, to bringing leadership to our youth group, and your talent for sharing love, the love of Jesus with others. And I'm thankful that you have exercised those talents during your time in our youth group. You have been a blessing to our group. Well, as I thought about how I want to encourage you this morning, and what passage of scripture I wanted to focus on, I decided I wanted to use this morning to pray over you guys. But I'm not just going to use my words. I'm going to borrow some words from scripture from the Apostle Paul. If you remember Paul's story, Paul originally did not believe in Jesus. In fact, he was actively fighting against the church and even persecuting Christians and arresting and killing Christians. But then he had this encounter with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he discovered the truth about who he is, and he got to know his grace. And Paul's life was forever changed after that. And he puts his faith in Jesus, and then God uses him in some pretty incredible ways. This guy who was hostile against Jesus in the church, God now uses him as a missionary to most of the Mediterranean world, and he plants churches all over that area and shares the truth about Jesus with many people. And as Paul would travel, he would write letters to these churches that he cared about and the people that he cared about. We actually have 13 of these letters that make up part of our New Testament. And in these letters, he encouraged these people, encouraged the churches, and encouraged them in their faith, and encouraged them as they tried to follow Jesus. And he would often include prayers in these letters. These are awesome prayers. If you just went and read the prayers of Paul over these churches and these individuals that he wrote to, they are rich and meaningful and intimate and beautiful prayers. And if you ever wanted to learn how to better pray for people in your life, or to better pray for the church, now what a great example. Look at Paul's prayers. He will show you how to pray for the people in your life. So I'm going to borrow from Paul this morning, and I'm going to pray for you seniors using some of his words. So the first thing that I want to pray over you is I want to thank God for you. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, Philippians 1, 3, and 4. Says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. You all have some people in your life that when you think about them, you just can't help but to be thankful that God placed them in your life. Maybe those people are our family members, close friends, people in this church, but there's certain people that are just a blessing from God that you can't help but remember them and just be so thankful that they're a part of your life. Seniors, you are a blessing from God to our lives. You have been a blessing to your parents and your family. You're a blessing to me and our youth group and our church. I'm thankful that God has placed you in our lives. When Paul talked about the church, he often compared it to a human body. He said that the church, like the body, is made up of many different parts, but it all functions as one body. And that's how God intended it, that even though these parts are all different, they can be unified to all work together and function as one body to accomplish God's mission here on earth. You seniors, you are an important part of our body. You are an important part of our church. And as we think about you and your unique personalities and unique gifts that God has given you, God, He's a master creator. And He did an awesome job in creating you, and He's still forming. And those unique gifts that you have, they've been a blessing to us, to our church, and I know they will continue in the future to be a blessing to the church wherever you go. So continue to use what God has blessed you with to bless the body of Christ, the church. And I'm thankful you've been a part of our church. You've been a part of my life. It's been a joy to have you as a part of our youth group and to watch you grow. So I thank God for you. I also want to pray over you this morning. This is what Greg read a while ago, a part of it, in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I hope that during your time at 10th and Broad, that we have communicated to you and you've got a picture of the love of Jesus, the love that He has for you. And I hope that as you go forward, you begin to grasp more and more each day just how great that love is for you. Over these next few years, these years after high school, as you go on to college and career, you will make decisions that in some ways set the course, set direction for your life. You'll decide about education, career, where you're going to live. You may even decide who you're going to marry during that time. And as you decide these things, you're making decisions about what's going to be important to you in life. Like, what is it you're going to be pursuing? What's the most important thing? And the world will offer several things, as they will say that these are the things you should pursue. That if you pursue these things, this is how you will experience the good life. And the world may say things like money, or success, or fame, or status, or even relationships. But ultimately, none of those will truly bring us life. If you really want to have life, it is only found in a relationship with Jesus. So let relationship with Him be your number one pursuit. Let the love of Jesus shape all the decisions in your life and set the direction for your life. There's nothing better than living in Christ's love. I hope you're reminded of that this morning. My next prayer for you is found in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Paul prays, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you." So I pray not only that you will know the love of Jesus more and more, but I pray that your love for others may grow more and more in your life. I pray that you're so filled with the love of God that it begins to overflow in the lives of the people around you. When I think about this picture of overflowing love, for some reason I think about when I was growing up, we had an above-ground swimming pool. And my dad would often tell me, typically around this time of year when we're trying to get the pool up and running for the summer, he would ask me to go stick the water hose in the pool and to fill it up. And that takes some time to fill up those swimming pools, even if you're just trying to fill it up a little bit. And so often you put the water hose in, you turn it on, and you leave it and go do other things, and then come back and turn it off later. But often, I would forget to turn it off. And I would go to bed, and it wouldn't be until the next morning when we walk out and step out on the lawn, and think it's a little squishier than normal. And we see that there's water overflowing over the sides of the pool. And my dad wasn't too happy with me. He probably wasn't too happy with his water bill either at that time. So this is a real cheesy metaphor. But I pray that God's love for you is like a water hose that someone forgot to turn off. And what's so awesome is God's love is so abundant that He is rich in mercy. That He's never going to run out of it. There's no limits on it. He's never going to cut off the hose. That He is incredibly generous. He's going to fill you with His love again and again. And I pray that as you experience God's love, I pray that you get so full of the love of God that it starts to spill over and into everyone's life that you come into contact with. I pray that others may know the love of Jesus because of you. And that's really what you were created for. That's your purpose. When God made you, that was His design for you, is that you would know His love and that you would show His love. That other people would come to know Him and have a relationship with Christ because of you. So live your life in a way that helps others know the love of Jesus. That's one of my prayers for you. The next part of our prayer for you this morning is found in Philippians 1:9-11. Paul prays, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul prays again that your love for others may grow, that it may abound more and more, but he also prays that you can be pure and blameless and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that's found in Jesus. Another way Paul could have said this is, I pray that you become more and more like Jesus. I pray that God transforms you into the image of His Son, into the image of Jesus. That's God's plan for you. That He wants to make you into a new creation. He wants to mold and shape you. He's already started. He wants to keep going. He wants to take the parts of us that are selfish and prideful and hurtful and don't reflect His heart, and don't reflect Jesus. He wants to do away with those and replace them with His love and compassion and holiness and righteousness and all of His good qualities. And this transformation doesn't happen by our own will, by us trying really hard to become more loving or more holy, but rather this transformation happens when we surrender to God and when we live in close connection with Him. And God does the transforming and molding in our lives through His Spirit alive in us. I don't know if you're keeping up with the PGA Championship this morning. There's a guy, a golfer, I don't know if you watch golf. There's a golfer who's doing pretty well. He's been around for a while, a guy named Phil Mickelson. You may be familiar with him even if you've just watched a little bit of golf. And he's been very successful as a golfer. And does anyone know his nickname? His nickname is Lefty. I think some people call him Hefty Lefty, making fun of his weight. That's not very nice. But Lefty is his nickname. Because he's a left-handed golfer. That makes a lot of sense. And that's not too incredibly uncommon. But one thing that is unusual is that although he balls left-handed, Phil Mickelson is not left-handed. He's actually right-handed. So how does that happen? How does one who's right-handed learn to play golf left-handed? Well, the way that happens is he learned from a very young age by watching his father play golf. That as he watched his father swing right-handed, he would stand across from him facing him, so he'd do it the opposite way and mirror and mimic every part of his dad's motion of his swing. And so that's how he learned to play golf left-handed, and he has been pretty successful at it, mimicking his dad, watching every movement, trying to be like him, mirroring him. I love that picture of him mirroring his father. And that's what Paul prays to you, and that's what I pray for you, is I hope that you can start to mirror your father. You can mirror God. I hope that you can mirror the way that Jesus lived, and the way that you treated others. And the way you do that is by keeping your eye on him, by focusing on him, by trying to align your life with his will, his heart, his purposes, and the way that Jesus lived. That we mimic him and mirror him. That's my prayer for you this morning. You can mirror your Father. You can mirror Jesus. And the last part of our prayer for you this morning, I'm going to go back to the Philippians 1:3 that we looked at, but I'm going to keep reading through verse 6. Paul prays, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has already begun a good work in you, seniors. That he has already started shaping and molding you and using you for his kingdom and to show love to others. And I'm confident that what God has started in you, he is going to bring to completion. That he has a good plan for your life. That he has good purposes planned for you. Seniors, this morning, I encourage you, trust in him. Let God and his love set the course for your life. Let him form you into the image of Christ. That's my prayer for you this morning.